like to discuss a medrash which gives a new idea as to what was the cause of Galus Mitzrayim and Avada. The Gemara in Nedarim has a few reasons. Moshe Avraham Avinu said Bo Ma'eda, it was Asan Gaya Patamid Akamim. There are several things in the Chazal said as to the cause of Galus Mitzrayim. But there's a medrash that gives us a new insight into it. Secondly, given this hesber about the cause of the Galus, why the Goel had to be none other than Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to be the one who redeemed us from this Galus. And lastly, why Moshe, who's the perfect person to be the Goel, is nonetheless unable to be the Kayin for Klal Yisrael. Medrash says, there's a Medrash that has three reasons for the cause of Galus Mitzrayim. First, the Medrash says it is a product of Sinas Chinam. Secondly, it was because of Mechiras Yosef. Thirdly, there was a lack of Hakaras HaTov, normally translated as, you know, lack of gratitude. So one of the Mefarshim, the bottom of the Medrash says, we know Sinas Chinam is Garim Galus. That, the Gemara says, in Yuma is the cause of our Galus. And we know there was Sinas Chinam amongst the Shvatim. You know, the Sukkim talk about the sin and the kin towards Yosef. So Sinas Chinam is Garim Galus. Secondly, Mechiras Yosef, that's Mida Keneged Mida. We sell Yosef into slavery, we have to go into slavery. And thirdly, it was a lack of Hakaras HaTov. How? Because the Mitzrayim can turn against us after what Yosef did. Yosef saved their economy. Yosef enabled Mitzrayim to become the world power in the agrarian society that existed then. And they can go ahead and stab us in the back? Lack of Hakaras HaTov. The problem with that, Kashayla and the Medrash, first of all, make up your mind. Is it Sinas Chinam Mechiras Yosef, lack of Hakaras HaTov, or are they somehow related? But more basically, the Medrash shouldn't be identifying where the Mitzrayim did us wrong. The Medrash is giving us the reasons where we did something wrong. There was a chasarim within the Shvatim, within Klal Yisrael, and for that reason, there had to be a Galus. Saying, oh, the Mitzrayim were ingrates, that's not hitting the point. First two is Sinas Chinam Mechiras Yosef. How does lack of a Hakaras HaTov fit in over here? Maybe you could explain it if we have a new understanding as to what Hakaras HaTov really is. I mean, it's not possible for a person to have Sinas Chinam if they are Makar Tov. If you are Makar Tov, you cannot have Sinna for no reason. Because Sinas Chinam, because Hakaras HaTov doesn't merely mean you rub my back, I'll rub yours. You were nice to me, I have to have gratitude and in turn be nice to you. Hakaras HaTov, like the words translate, mean to recognize the good, to use your cognitive abilities, use your seichel to see the good in each and every person, to realize that every single yid is the Yetzir Kapov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every yid was created for a purpose. Every yid adds another strand into the beautiful tapestry that Klal Yisrael is comprised of. Every yid has tov. Every yid has estimable value. If you start off with that hanacha, that there's tov within every yid, it's not shayach to hate them for no good reason. It's one thing you punched me in the nose, you ba'aveled me, that's not sinner for no good reason. Look what you did to me. But if you start off with a person on the positive side of the slate, that their very existence enhances the greater Klal Yisrael, enhances me somehow, there's tov within him, to hate for no reason can't be. It's one thing if I feel he has no value, he's in power of, the guy's neutral, he doesn't do anything for me, then the guy gives me what I think is a dirty look, or I don't like the shape of his nose, I can write the person off. I can have sinner for no reason. But if I am makar the inherent intrinsic tov in every other yid, and maybe we have to qualify that, maybe you have to be conforming to certain God basics in halacha, and that's, we have to discuss that. But if I makar the tov in another person, I can't hate them for no good reason. Because they're starting off with value to me. I mean, I like them by their very being. I should have an appreciation for them. If that's true, this can give us a nice hesber in the machlokes Yosef and the Shvatim. So, come talk about the sinner towards Yosef. Where did this come from? All the Shvatim were different one from the other. The qualities that Reuven was outstanding in and the midos that he was going to bring into Klal Yisrael were different from those of Shimon, were different from those of Levi. They were all different one from the other. The differences that Yosef was outstanding in, whether the Pesukim talk about the Yofi, Bechor, Shor, Hadalo, the Zohar uses the words, we don't know what it means. It says Yosef was osuk, and he was osuk in his chitzonius, in his externals. Whatever that means, Yosef was doing things that the other Shvatim felt, or his qualities were such that the other Shvatim not only felt that they're of no value to Klal Yisrael, they're detrimental to the formation of Klal Yisrael. They're no good. That could be the pshat, Vayakir Yosef as out of context, Vayakir Yosef as Echov, Vahem Lahiki Ruhu. They were all different one from the other, but Vayakir Yosef as Echov. Yosef had Hakara, he recognized the inherent good of his brothers, even though their midas and their essence was different than his. Vahem Lahiki Ruhu. They had no Hakara, no appreciation, no recognition for the good of Yosef. Memela, they're able to come to the sinner that the Pesukim talk about. He tells Tati on us. He lords the dreams over us. We can hate him already for next to nothing because we start off with him having no value. It's the Shvatim's lack of Hakaras HaTov towards Yosef that enables them to hate, have sinas chinam, hatred for no good reason, to the point, let's get rid of him. We sell him into slavery, we meet a connected me to have to go into slavery. If the Yisayid of the Machloikas, Yosef Echav, was a lack of Hakaras HaTov, we can explain nicely something that Yosef did. Yosef made the greatest public demonstration of Hakaras HaTov. Pesukim in Vayigash talk about how Yosef didn't tax the Kahanim. The land of the Kahanim was theirs to keep. They didn't have to give taxes to Paroi. I guess he created the first tax exempt, or the first, what's it, a 501c3? The church was not taxed. The Kahanim were not taxed. Why did he do this? Medrash Rabbah says, Mefurish, it was because of Hakaras HaTov. Because years before, when Yosef was accused of an indiscretion with Potiphar's wife, he was put on trial. Says the Medrash, just like in Klal Yisrael, the majority of our Dayanim are from Shevet, the Shevet of the Kahuna, the Shevet Levi. In Mitzrayim, their judiciary was from the Kahanim. The Kahanim in Mitzrayim were the Dayanim, were their judges. So they went ahead and put him on trial. They saw through her ruse. They realized Yosef was innocent. But to acquit, to free him outright, would be a slap in the face to Potiphar. To sentence him to death, which I guess would have been the normal outcome, is unjust. Says the Met. Therefore, they were nice. They put him, I guess, in jail. Life in prison. I guess it wasn't life. Medrash doesn't say. Says the Medrash, Yosef has Hakaras HaTov. The Kahanim saved my life then. I'm not going to tithe to them. I'm not going to tax their lands. But think about it. How many people were on the tribune? Tribunal's the wrong word. We don't know. How many people were impaneled to go ahead and try Yosef then? Whatever the number was, here he's not only extending this courtesy, this tax-exempt status to them and their children, the Dari Daris, it's to every other kohen in Mitzrayim. He's going way beyond what he should have to do, but in terms of what I owe you. You were nice to me. Because that's not all what Hakaras HaTov. Because Yosef understood that there's going to come a time, there could come a time, when the Mitzrayim turn against us. The Mitzrayim could say, if in one mishpacha, with the same religion, the same ideology, the same Yisaydis Hachayim, brothers can hate another brother to the extent they can have no value of one brother to the point where they sell him into Avdus. So we, who are a different nation, some of the practices that the Yidden had were abhorrent to the Mitzrayim. We are a different culture. What's wrong if we imprison you? If you can do, or take you as slaves, if you can do the same thing to your brother? So Yosef went ahead and in order to inoculate the Mitzrayim from the lack of Hakaras HaTov and what it brought amongst the Shvatim, I'm going to show the greatest example, public demonstration of Hakaras HaTov way beyond what is really necessary. The Shalach HaKadosh says that Yosef's attempt at preventing the Mitzrayim from turning around and doing the same thing to us that we did to Yosef did work, says the Shalach. It worked that our Shevet of Kahanim, our Shevet Levi wasn't Nishtavet. Shalom writes, that the Hakaras HaTayv he had to them, the nice, how he was nice to them, they were nice to us the same degree. That they were not, they did not enslave our Kahanim, our Leviim. But Yosef, again, his kavana could have been to, not forestall, to actually prevent the galus from occurring. Yaakov himself, he also knew that there's some tension amongst the Shvatim, that there's divisiveness, that they're not getting along together. Whatever he knew about the Mechiras Yosef itself, it's clear that Yaakov was aware that something was going on with the Shvatim. And he tried to give them the way out. He tried to tell them what you have to do. He knew that the sinner, or the lack of achdus among them, is going to come and divide, is going to be garma gullus. He gave them the answer to the gullus. Yaakov on his deathbed, the pasuk says, Yaakov says, "Hey asvu ve'agida lachem esa sheyikra ba'achas hayamim." Gather around and I will tell you what will happen in the end of days, says Rashi, because Yaakov legalus es haketz. He wanted to tell them when the end of the gullus in Mitzrayim, the geula shalema will occur. But if you read the psukim subsequent, it doesn't say. Yaakov doesn't say anything. Rashi writes, nistan himenu, that his Ruach HaKodesh or the Shechina departed him, and he never told them when the geula will be. The Shalal Kaddish writes, and it's Mamish, I think it's a Medrash Rabbah that says Mamish the same thing. Yaakov did tell them, different shot. Yaakov told them when the Geula will be. Yaakov knows that the Shvatim are divided, and divided we are going to fall. Therefore he told them, "Hey Asvu, gather around me." Right now you're fragmented. Right now you're not divided. Hey Asvu, if you gather around, if you get back together and become Basif HaAchas, then that itself, that is the answer. Then it can occur, Asha Yikru B'Achas Yomim. The end of days can come because that itself is the Tikkun. I mean, the Shalal writes, very interesting. He says that this pshat in the words, that Yaakov really was merames to them, you've got to let the past go, you have to get back together. That's the Hesber in the Gemara that says, Mutu l'shanes mipnei ha-shalom. Gemara says in Baba Metzia, everyone quotes it, that you're allowed to tell a little white lie. But the Shalal says, the wording in the Gemara isn't Mutu l'shaker, you're allowed to lie. It's mutter l'shanais. You can change. You can make it somewhat different. You can alter it. Says the Shalah, that's what Yaakov did. That's what's happening over here. Should have explained. The story was, the Shvatim came after Yaakov died. After Yaakov died, the Shvatim saw Yosef, were concerned, Yosef's going to take nekama on us. As long as our father was alive, he'll leave us alone. Now he's going to get back at us from Mechiras Yosef. So they sent some of the Shvatim, the Bnei Bila v'Zilpa, they sent people to Yosef, telling Yosef, Avicha tziv lefnei Moso, our father told us to tell you, before he died, our father told us to tell you that you should forgive us. It never occurred. We don't find it in the Psukim. And it's the most self-serving statement. You're afraid someone's going to hurt you. Oh, Tati said, "Don't. You have to be Meichelas." Shteknisht, says the Shalah. So that's the raya the Gemara brings. Mutul Hashanah Svipnei HaShalom. Normally understood, you can tell a little white lie for the sake of peace. Says the Shalah, no. He said it in other words. He said, "Hey Asfu, get back together." There's no head to lie for the sake of Shalom. You can be Mishana. They took his words, which were intended to go ahead and tell them, get back together. Let the past be the past and appreciate one another and have avas chinam for one another. That was contained in the word Hayasvu. So in essence, Yaakov Avinu was saying, you have to forgive one another. It's the Shalom's pshat over there. I mean, he says the same thing is by Sarah in Parshas, by Yair as well, but not the time tonight. If the Golas Mitzrayim was a product of lack of Hakaras HaTayv, not recognizing the inherent good that another Yid, that Yosef had, the Goyal has to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Makar Tov par excellence. Moshe is the one who doesn't hit the water, he doesn't hit the sand, because decades before they were Hagen Alav, they helped him. So he's going to go ahead and give it its due, even though it's not the same water, it's not the same sand, that water long passed, the sand was blown away, sand doesn't have feelings, it's inanimate, but since good occurred to him because of the sand and the water, he has to do whatever he can to give it its due. He's being makar, it's a chashuv of a thing, it benefited me, I have to do something for it. What is Moshe? Moshe is called in Chazal the Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd of Klal Yisrael, which means he was first a faithful shepherd to the Yidden in the 40 years in the Midbar, but also he was a faithful shepherd to Yisrael. The Medrash brings a Maisa that one of an animal from the flock that Moshe was tending ran away, and Moshe ran after it a great distance, and he found it, and the animal was thirsty, and he told the animal, I would have given it to you, I would have brought you water. Why is Moshe dedicating himself to Yisrael? Why is he the dedicated Royat sign of Yisrael? Because Moshe has Hakar Sataiv. When he left Mitzrayim, he was running, he was a fugitive. They wanted to kill him. He came to Midian, Yisrael gave him a wife, Yisrael apparently gave him work to do. He owes, notwithstanding the fact that Yisrael, yes, might have put him in, incarcerated him for many years, but Moshe owes Yisrael to the extent that everything of Yisrael's is chashuv to me. I'm going to go ahead and take care of even his animals, because that recognizing that level of Hakaras HaToiv, recognizing the good in each and everything, is what a person has to be a Manig Yisrael. A Manig Yisrael has to be someone who sees and is willing to work with and deal with the tov and the feelings, the attitudes that, and again, it has to be a baseline of halacha. But only a Manig has to be a person who takes into account everyone's needs, everyone's feelings. Or else you're going to have a leader who's going to cut out all the isms, all the extremes, and mainstream Klal Yisrael. This is the way it is. But that's not what we are. Everyone quotes the Zayin Shir Shirim, that Yisrael is an acronym of Yesh Shishim Ribui Osius LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. If one letter from the Torah is not there, it's a apostle of Sefer Torah. If one member of Yisrael is not there, it's not the same Klal Yisrael. Just like Yosef with his differences, that is something that had to be brought to the table and put into the greater Klal Yisrael. Every single person's needs and wishes, all of them are chashiv. A Moshe, who's this person, who is makar tov to anything, who recognizes the good, and is willing to go ahead and deal with whatever and give due to everything that he has to, he's the person who can go back to Mitzrayim and bring about the achdus within Yisrael that Yaakov said. When Moshe left Mitzrayim, he ran away because he was the Dasan Vaviran. He saw one Yid hitting on his brother. He wanted to intervene, and they threatened him, are you going to kill us? You know, are you going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri? And Moshe was aware that they're threatening to turn him into power, which they ultimately did. Says Moshe when he left, Ati Adati. Now I know why the Gullus is as hard as it is. If you can have one brother turn against another, if you can have such perfidy within cousins or brothers, we don't deserve any less than this. That's the matzav when he left Mitzrayim. When he comes back to Mitzrayim, Pasuk says, his first meeting with Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Vayelech Moshe v'Aharon, Vayaasfu es kol ziknei b'nei Yisrael. He gathered together all the zakenim of b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, however it was, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring about this asifa within Klal Yisrael, where they let the old machloikas go. They had the appreciation that one another needed, and as Yaakov said, Hey Osfu, when you will gather together, then I can tell you Esa Shiyikra Ba'achas Hayamim. Moshe was Mekayim this, and therefore we were able to go out through Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu being the goyel of Klal Yisrael. What's interesting is the same goyel that Moshe was to take us out of Mitzrayim, he wasn't able to be the Kayin of Klal Yisrael. The Kuna was taken away from him and given to his brother Aaron. So can say, Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu for 7 days was Aaron. It's okay. Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you. Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. He was refusing to go. Finally he said, Shlach no biyat tishlach. Send instead of me the person whom you always send. Aaron has been Hashem's Navi in Mitzrayim till now. Send him. Pasuk says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe. Says Rashi, whenever we find Charon af of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that reaction, that mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's always an einish, there's always a consequence. What is the consequence? It's that Aaron, who should have been the Kohen, Aaron, who should have been the Levi, with Moshe being the Kohen, things are going to flip around. The kahuna that would have been Moshe's, you're going to lose, that's going to go to Aaron. You're going to be the Levi that he would have been. So Hashem says, "Hinei Aaron Achicha HaLevi," your brother Aaron, who should have been the Levi with you, the Kohen, it's reversing. You're going to be the Kohen, he's going to be the Levi. And then the pasuk continues that Aaron's going to come out and meet you. V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. He's going to see you and be very happy. Says Rashi, not like you thought that Aaron's going to feel slighted when the kahuna is taken away from him. He's going to be happy and not have any complaints about it. Two shilas. Why is Moshe losing the kahuna specifically? Yes, he's disagreeing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, arguing. But what's the mita keneged mita? Or is there some mita keneged mita in Moshe losing the kahuna? And the corollary to that question is, why is Aaron the one who gets the kahuna? Is it symmetry? Moshe loses something and he is demoted to what Aaron would have been. Mamela, Aaron gets what Moshe would have had. And is it just once this changes, you know, we switch it around both ways? Or is there something in what Aaron did? Is there some reason why, just as Moshe can't be the Kohen, Aaron deserves the Kohuna? One Shiloh. Why is Moshe not the Kohen? Why does Aaron get it? And secondly, that those last words when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your brother Aaron's going to be happy to see you. Why does Hashem say that? It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is adding insult to injury. Sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you thought you're doing your brother a favor, and I'm going to, you know, my older brother, how can I step on his toes? Number one, you're going to become the Levi, he's going to become the Kohen. And secondly, not like, says Rashi, not like you thought he's going to feel slighted, he's going to be happy to see you. Sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe that your whole reason to martyr, you martyred yourself, you lost the kahuna for your older brother, it was a wasted effort, because your brother wouldn't have minded anyway. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu adding salt to the wound, insult to injury? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him what seems to be a statement of, you did a nice thing that had absolutely no value. You can't even walk away from this with a good conscience. At least I was nice to my brother Aaron. I lost the kahuna, but I'm nice. What's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? To explain why he lost the kahuna, we have to go back to a previous person who lost the kahuna. In Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov was on his deathbed, the Pasukim say that Yaakov, Reuven should have been the Kohen. Yeser Seis, Yeser Oz, says Rashi, Reuven should have been the Kohen, but because he, Ki Elisa Mishkevei Avicha, Oz Chalalti Yitzuei Allah, since you went ahead and you moved around the beds with Bila, with Leah's bed, you lost the kahuna. Again, why is Reuven losing the kahuna? He meant well, Toiveya El Boina, he was defending the honor of his mother. And there are many Sfarim that say that Yaakov, at the end of the story, agreed that Yaakov kept his bed in the Ohel of Leah. So really what Reuven was doing was the right thing. Maybe he didn't speak to his father. What's the mita keneged mita that he loses the kahuna? Why does Moshe, for being nice to his older brother, lose the kahuna? Why is Reuven, who's sticking up for his mother, something that Yaakov may have even in the end agreed with, why is he losing the kahuna? Let's go back one step further. There's a previous person who lost the kahuna, Malki Tzedek. After the Melchama of the four kings against the five kings, Lot's taken captive. Avram Avinu goes and he rescues Lot. He frees all the captives. Pasuk says that Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. This is Malki Tzedek who Shem Ben Noach, says Rashi. He brought out bread and wine. But who kain lekel elyon? Malki Tzedek was the kain then. Says Rashi, says the Gemara. Who kain lekel elyon? The Ein Zarek Kahanim. He was a Kohen, but it didn't continue to his children. It passed to Avram and his children, because Malki Tzedek did an avla. He gave a bracha to a baser v'dam before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he met Avram after the battle on the battlefield, he said, Baruch Avram lekel elyon. He gave a bracha, Avram is blessed. And only in five words later, he says, and Baruch kel elyon, that Hashem is blessed. He gave a bracha to a person before Hashem. He loses the kahuna. First of all, again, Is there a mita connected mita and losing the kahuna? And what's so bad? Even in his bracha to Avram Avinu, he only said, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. Avram is gebenched by the God Most High. That's even in his bracha to Avram, which is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by two words, he's recognizing, what's the ganze bracha? Avram is blessed by Hashem. That's a chasarin, that's a soul in making him a kohen. What's the mita connected mita here? So, Chaim Simcha Gibber, he's in the Rosh Kailo in Minneapolis, he said, cite is this, a Kayin is an Eved Hashem. A Kayin serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An Eved can have no agenda other than fulfilling what his master wants and his master needs. No matter how humanitarian it might be, however good the cause, if he deviates and puts any and anything before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sefelt in Kahuna. You're a servant, you have to serve me. Therefore, as humanitarian, as great as the mitzvah might be, it can't come at the expense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in most cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, in this case, do the humanitarian thing. Be nice, do this to the person and instead of me. But if you put HaKadosh Baruch Hu second to a person, you're failing in what a Kohen is. Malki Tzedek, Malki Tzedek gave a bracha to Avram before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though in his bracha he acknowledged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But by putting anything before the respect of Hashem, there's a defect in what a Kohen is, because a Kohen has only one agenda, my master HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I give cover to someone else before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no Kohen. Reuven was sticking up for his mother, right? But at whose expense? He was doing a nice thing. What was the chait of Reuven? Was it a chait ben adam l'makan or ben adam l'chaveroi? Did he lose the kahuna because he was discourteous to his father? Or it was a chait ben adam l'makan? Rashi says, on the Pasuk in Vayechi, az chalal the yitzui elah, that by Reuven moving the beds, he disturbed the Shechina that rested above Yaakov's bed. He created, so to speak, a disturbance in the force. And because of that, he lost the kahuna. His chait, or what he did, he was doing beautiful thing, caring about a person's feelings. And Yaakov might have, after the fact, even agreed to that. But he did it at the expense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina. You can't be a Kohen. Same thing with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to be the Shliach to take the Yidden out. Moshe said, my brother Aaron, how can I do it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that there's an Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he had a Navi in Mitzrayim all these years. If he tapped Moshe for the position, it must be because Moshe is the best person for the job. For Moshe to go ahead and say, I can't do it, my older brother, he's putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda, which is to take the in and out, he's putting that second to his brother's need, to his brother's feelings. That's a failing in what a Kohen is. To put another person, another human being, as great as the thing is, and it's a beautiful thing. He got schar maybe for kibbutz and acha gadol, but he's doing it at the expense of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs. You're doing that. You're not taking, I need the yidden to be taken out. Don't worry about your brother. He loses the kahuna. That's why Aaron gets the kahuna. By the fact that Aaron's going to come out to Moshe v'ra'acha v'samach b'libay. By the fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling Moshe, you know what Moshe, you lose the kahuna and you can't even feel good about yourself that at least I didn't hurt my brother's feelings. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was explaining to Moshe why Aaron becomes the kohen. By the fact that Aaron's going to come out and be happy that you're the one and not he, that's why he deserves the kahuna. If Aaron would know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him in place of his brother, even though he's second best, if Moshe was really the best, but I don't want to slight Aaron, so we're going to keep with Aaron, if Aaron would hear that, he would feel terrible. You're being mechaved me at the sake of Klal Yisrael, you're taking the second best person. If Moshe's the best person for the job, I'm very happy you chose him, please use him. By the fact that v'ra'acha v'samach b'libay, Aaron's going to be happy knowing that it was Moshe, it's because he realizes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, he's not putting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs are being met right now. That's what a kohen is. That you're willing to be concerned, or you are concerned about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda before anyone else's. Hope I explained that well enough. Now, You know, we talk about this. This is off the topic, but Malki Tzedek being a Kohen, we refer to as a Kohen, is something very fascinating thing I found this year. I really have to hurry. The Shalach HaKadosh writes, many Svarim bring it, that the Nes Chanukah with the Pach Katan was a Pach Katan from Yaakov Avinu's Pachim Katanim. It's the same word. You know, right? Yaakov went back that night, so the Svarim brings, Shalach brings it, Pach Katan, Pachim Katanim. So I guess those containers that Yaakov went back for contained oil. Where did that oil come from? I always wondered. That oil, where did the oil come from? So years ago, I once suggested that the oil, we know Noach comes back to, the Yoinah comes back to Noach with Alei Zayis Torf Befil, with an olive leaf in its mouth, and according to one shot in Rashi, it came from Gan Eden. Noach took the olive leaf, he planted it, but whatever you do with a leaf, and grew from there olives, and from the oil of those olives, he brought, used for his Nesachim. He in turn, he gave it over. He was Morishit to Shem ben Noach, his son, who used it for his Karbanis. He was the Kohen Lekel Elyon. Noach, or Shem, gave it to Avram, to Yitzhak, to Yaakov, and it's these containers that Yaakov's going back for. And Avada, he's going to be Maisa Nefesh. This is Gan Eden oil, it's Meyuchastik, it's from Isaiah's. And it's with that oil burns 8 days. I once told this to, there's one of the Rebbeim in there you saw, Nachum Lansky. I once told this to him, and he pulled me, took me over to his shelf. I don't know the Zohar by heart. He took me over to his shelf, and he pulled out a Tikkuni Zohar, and the Zohar says, on those words, Alei Zayis Torf Fafia, the Zohar says that this, and I don't pause, here, this is not it. The Zohar says, Alei Zayis Torf Befiyah, the 8 days of Chanukah are the 8 days of, there are 24 days, the 8 days of Chanukah, Umiyad the Ola Zayis Torf Befiyah, the minute the olive leaf went into its mouth, Shar Yechof Heil Yisrael B'chof Hei B'Kislev, the 25th of Kislev, you know, Shar, I don't know what Shar means, it affected Yisrael, V'do Ihu Chanukah. So the Zohar says, this is Chanukah, this is Chof Hei B'Kislev. I saw this year the Shalach HaKadosh writes, who was the Kohen Gadol whose Chasima was on the Pach Katan? It was Malki Tzedek. Not what we ever would have thought. You know, so the dots might be there to connect this. That it's the same oil that came from Gan Eden that was given by Noach to Shem, and his Chasima, his Shtempel was on it, that's the oil Yaakov went back for. It's not an interesting. Let's go back. On this, let's say something. On this part, I can go a few minutes after 10? I don't know. And just a couple cues, something very enjoyable. There's a, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that when Alexander Mukden became Melech al Kol Ha'olam, the Mitzrayim came to him with a tanya. The Mitzrayim said the Yidden lost money. Because it says in the Pesukim that they borrowed Klei Kesef, like Klei Zav, Smalos. They borrowed it, they never returned it. So one of the Yidden, Gevir ben Pesisa, whole story who he was, he went and tanya on our behalf. And he told them as follows, you're a raya, we owe you money, because it says in the Torah that we borrowed it all. It also says in the Torah that there were six, that we left with 600,000 people, the pasuk in this parsha, and we lived in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yoshev b'Mitzrayim, Arba Me'er Shana u'Shloshim Shana. Pasuk says near the end of Vayit, we were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. So they made a cheshbon, 430 years worth of, I guess, minimum wages for 600,000 people. Whatever we took out of Mitzrayim wasn't enough to compensate that, and they ran away, and there's a little more detail in the Gemara. Everyone asks, Mashal there asks, we weren't there for 430 years. We were only there for 210 years. And we weren't there working for 210 years. The real Kushi HaShibud, or the real Avdus, only started 86 years, the Medrash says, before we left. Kiminyan Elokim, Midas Hadin. There was a din against us for 86 years. Because if you look at the Pesukim in Shemais, all the involvement with Paro against the Yidin seems to be happening when you have Shifra and Pu on the scene. And, you know, if Pu is Miriam, she was 6 years Moshe's senior. So if Moshe left, if Moshe was 80 when we left, she's 86, so it's only 86 years. So what's he saying, 430 years? So the answers are, the 86 years was so difficult, it was like 430 years. I think that's the Mashal says. The others say that, he was a good lawyer, you know, and he was able to get away with it. The Rabbi Marcus Lehman, This is before there was an art scroll. There was one of, I think, Mustama, one of the first English Haggadahs, the Marcus Lehman Haggadah. He writes a shot like this. He says it's true. We were not there for 430 years working. We're only working 86 years. But the number 600,000 is off. We left Mitzrayim with 600,000 people, but the Pasuk says in Bishalach Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael. We left one out of five, says Rashi in one shot. One out of five people left. So there were really five times the amount. There were 3 million people working. 3 million people working for 86 years is the same as 600,000 people working for 430 years. Because 600,000 times 5 is 3 million, and 86 times 5 is 430. So he had to use the numbers the Torah wrote. He couldn't say, well, there were really 3 million people because of the Pasuk Chamushim, which doesn't mean like the Targum, it means like the other Pshat and Rashi. Because he had to deal with the Torah's numbers. The Torah says 430, the Torah says 600,000. But actually, at least proportionately, there was no deception in this. It wasn't dishonest. And he finishes with Marcus Lehman, that's why we have Arba Kaisis on Pesach. Because Kais is Begematria 86. We make a bracha on Kais four times to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the four times Kais he took off of the Cheshbon. We, by all rights, we should have been working for 430 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechazdai only made us, I'll answer that if you're bothered with, should have only been 400. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechazdai only made us work for one period of 86 years. So we make a bracha on the kais four times to thank him for the four times kais he took off of the cheshbon. Also, totally changing the subject. We have in the parsha the din of Kiddush HaChodesh. We calculate the Levana. We calculate, our calendar is based on the Levana. Others use the sun. Very interesting thing. What? This form will talk about how Avram is the Amud HaChesed. Avram's son Yishmael, this form right, took the meat of Chesed of Avram, but he perverted it, he distorted it. They call it the Klipa de Chesed. He took Chesed and he took it to the dark side. He misused it. Yitzchak, the Amud HaDin, his son Esav took this Midah of Din or Gevura, and he misuses it. It's the Klipa of Gevura. Yaakov is a synthesis of the two. Tiferes, Yaakov takes the din of Yitzchak and he tempers it with the chesed of Avram. Perfect balance. There's a couple interesting things that come out because of this. Our calendar, we have a lunar calendar. The Bnei Yishmael, their calendar, the Arabs that come from Yishmael, who are Metzad, the sun and the moon, which is chesed, which is din? What would you say? So the Sforim say that the moon is Chesed, the sun is Din or Gevura. They've been raya's Ohavov Kitseis Hashem is Begvuraso. The Gemara says that there's no Gehenim in the future. Hashem will take out the sun from its sheath, and the Rishon will be burned by it. The sun is Din, the sun is Gevura, and the moon is Chesed. Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yishmael that come from Avram, Mitzad HaChesed, they have a lunar calendar, totally based in Chesed. Bnei Esav, the Western civilization that come from the Gevura, the din of Yitzchak, they have a solar calendar. Klal Yisrael, which is a mizug of the two, we have a lunar calendar, but we recalibrate it for the seasons according to the sun. And that's the balance between the two. There's another place where you find this. I wanted to look up. I forgot where. There's a tshuva sefer that has the following shaila. He asks, one old sefer. I didn't look it up. This kashya is the Gemara says b'chol pina shata tifna al tiel yamin. You always have to go to the right. When you start off, you go to the right. That affects our laws by hag, but you should turn this way. Different things. Shaila was, when we write a Sefer Torah, when we write Ksav Ashuris, we're writing from right to left. We're not going left to right. We should always be turning to the right. How could Ksav Ashuris, how could Lashon HaKodesh be read from right going to the left? He answers, I'll tell you in a minute, you'll see his answer. Bnei Yishmael, if I were to ask you, right and left, which is Chesed, which is Din? Right, the sun and the moon, One's din, one's chesed. Right and left, the sfarim all say, yamin is chesed. The left is small. One, why they bring is because the left should push away, the right should bring close. The stronger hand. The B'nai Yishmal that come from Avram Mitzad HaChesed, their basis is in Chesed, their B'yamin. Therefore, B'nai Yishmal, Arabic writing, goes from right to left. Arabic writing, you write the left, right to left. It's Miyusid in Chesed, starting from the right. B'nai Esav, whose Yisayid is in Din or Gevurah, they start writing from left to right. The aside, the foundation, the starting point is on the left side, going left to right, starting in Din or Gevura. Klal Yisrael has a balance of the two. While we write from right to left, but Beksava Shuris, every single letter we draw, we start from the left and go to the right. If you make an Aleph, it's true, we write Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, but the Aleph you form from the left, and you go to the right. The beis is this. Every letter, you start on the left, moving to the right, and then you go ahead and proceed right to left. I forgot the name of the sefer. This is the answer. I mean, that's the answer that he gave. Because it's not a chasarn. He writes, it's not a chasarn of kol pina shatatifta alti eli yamin, because the maisa we go to the right also. It's just, there must be other examples where this is in play. I'm asking you, I've asked people before, if anyone can come up with any other differences where B'nai Yishmal, B'nai Esav are in these extremes and Kleisel's in the middle, it's something to think about because there must be other examples. Let's end off with one. A word from the Sfas Emes, Negea Kiddush HaChodesh. He writes it in Parshas HaChodesh in Shemais. The Gemara says in Brachas, the David HaMelech, Kinor Hayatali Lamalamar Shaysov Shal David. David HaMelech had a musical instrument over his head and it would play at midnight. He would wake up, he would learn early in the morning, or Ira Shachar. The Yishalmi has the similar Gemara, but the Yishalmi adds a little more. The Yishalmi says that David used to say, Ana Havina Ma'orer Shachra. Ana Havina, I would Ma'orer Shachra. I would arouse the morning. V'shachra lo Ma'orer Ana. And the morning would not arouse me. So the simple pshat is, it's like our Bavli, that David got up before the morning. You know, I got up, I preceded the morning didn't precede me. I woke up before the morning. Shasema says, a little different, says, we know it's only Limud HaTorah that keeps the world going. Imlo brisi yomam v'layla, if not for the covenant that is able to be performed day and night, chukah shemayim v'aretz lo samti, that maisa bereishis, the ongoing process of maisa bereishis of creation would cease if people stop learning. That, he says, is the pshat in davening. Hamechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid maisa bereishis. Hamechadesh betuvo, he renews betuvo v'ein tov el Torah. He makes new every day through Torah b'chol yom tamid maisa bereishis. That maisa bereishis, the ongoing creation of the world, is brought about through the continual learning of Klal Yisrael. Says that's the pshat by David. David wasn't just saying, I got up before the morning. Ana havina ma'orer shachra. I aroused the morning. Icha bashafin the biker. His learning, b'chatzais halayla, before the morning, that type of learning is what enabled the morning to come about. Because it's such as the koyach ha'tayra. That's what you were doing. That's what David was able to accomplish. He aroused the morning. Morning didn't arouse me. Okay. Thank you.